So we're in our final week of this Christmas series, Merry and Bright. We obviously have been studying characteristics of positive people. So merry are the positive characteristics, and we're learning how to use those characteristics to be bright, reflecting the light of Jesus in our everyday lives. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you were pretty bright this Christmas? Yeah? Did it work? Did you listen? Did you put it into practice? I hope so. Okay, good. So I believe that one of the main reasons, this is our last one in this, I believe that one of our main reasons people are negative is because they lack, or we lack, purpose. Ask yourself this question. What is my purpose here on earth? What is my purpose here on earth? At this point, you may look at your life and say, you know, I'm a parent, so my purpose is to raise my kids. You might say, you know, I work at this company, so my purpose is to be the best worker that I can be. Maybe you're a student and you say, my purpose is to be the best student I can be so I can get the degree, so I can go and work and be the best worker. Maybe you're looking at your life and you're married and you're saying, my purpose is to be the best spouse I can be. Or maybe you're a grandparent and you're saying, my purpose is to be the best grandparent. You're looking at your life and saying, this is my purpose. Or you may say, my purpose is to gather enough stuff so I can use it and enjoy it until I die. Okay? Whatever you're thinking, the list can go on and on. Depending on the stage and season of life you are in, you might say, this or that is my purpose. Now, we can agree that if we look at purpose through those lenses, our purpose changes over time, doesn't it? It changes over time. Oftentimes, we do not adjust well to the changes when a season of life changes or ends, or maybe even abruptly ends. We may feel purposeless. Maybe, you know, you're newly retired and you're like, oh, what do I do in my life now? Maybe you're just getting into the workforce and you're like, oh, what do I do in my life now? Maybe you lost someone in your life. There was an abrupt change in your life. What do I do now? What's my purpose? So what happens is we fall into this trap of feeling purposeless because either maybe something was taken away from us or something changed in our lives. And then all of a sudden, when we feel purposeless, we actually become negative people. So today, what I want to do in our last Sunday in 2024, I want to explore the concept of our purposes in life regardless of our stage in life. Okay, regardless of your stage in life, we all have a purpose from God. I believe that when we live in the purposes that God has given us, we'll actually be merry people, we'll be positive people, and it will help us to shine bright. Okay, and we're looking at 2025, right? I think that most of you probably want to shine bright in 2025. You actually want to live by God's purposes. So what really is our purpose in life? Well, the Puritans said it this way. They said, our purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, let's break this down. What does this mean? Glorifying God is to move beyond our own self-interests to the interests of God. Move beyond our own self-interest and move into the interests of God. In other words, live for God. Now, here are two verses that this is based on. The first is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You are bought with a price. That's what the scriptures say. We're bought by the blood of Jesus. We deserve to pay for our sin. Jesus said, nope, I'm going to pay for it for you. So basically what Paul is saying here is you were bought with a price. You are not your own. So glorify God with your body. Now, this isn't just a New Testament thing. This is also an Old Testament thing. Everyone who is called by my name, the Lord's name, whom I created for my own glory, whom I formed and made. So God says that He created us to bring Him glory, to use our lives to glorify Him. enjoying God, okay? Enjoying God focuses in on his character and his blessings. Remember when, you know, that when I mentioned that sometimes people look at their life and it's like to gather the stuff so I can enjoy it? Well, God actually does bless us with a lot of good things, and he does want us to enjoy those things, but he also wants us to recognize that he's the giver of all those things. I think in one of the messages, I talked about that in James, where every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So enjoying God focuses in on his blessings, but it also focuses in on his character, who he is and what he's done. Now, here's a verse that teaches about that in Psalm 16:11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So I would suggest this, that if we do not live for the purposes that God made us for, we'll kind of have an uneasiness in our life. We'll kind of have an emptiness in our life. We'll kind of feel a restlessness in our life. We'll kind of be negative, unhappy people. I've used this quote before, but Augustine said it this way. He says, "You, O Lord, have made me for yourself, and my heart is restless until it found rest in you." You get that? Our hearts are restless. We don't know what's going on. We don't really know what we're doing. We're kind of chasing the wind, as Ecclesiastes said. So today what we're going to do is we're going to learn three specific ways we can fulfill our purpose of bringing glory to God. And then because of that, we're going to really learn that we can enjoy him because of these things. Now, the first is we need to grow in our faith. Now, before we go into depth on this concept, growing in our faith, we have to make sure we have faith. And, you know, if you come here each Sunday, you've heard me say this probably thousands of times, and it's the gospel message. It's the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And the scriptures teach us all who believe will have eternal life. We trust him. We place our faith in him. So to grow in our faith is to learn how to trust him more. Because when we trust in Jesus for our salvation, we're good, right? Okay, I'm going to heaven when I die. Okay, I'm good. But the truth of the matter is that's not the only way that we actually live in and grow our faith, okay? Because basically what we need to do now is we need to learn how to trust God with each area of our life. So that means tomorrow when you go to work and there's a problem at work, you trust God. Because a lot of times in our minds we say, okay, church and that stuff is over here, okay? That's where our faith thing, and I'm a believer and I'm going to heaven one day. And then we step out into the world kind of crushes in, and we don't look at our lives as a life of faith and trust in the Lord. We look at it as like, what can I do? What has this person done? How can I control this? We don't look at it and say, you know what? I have to trust God with what's going on. So now it comes to the growing part. When we are not growing, we have a tendency to feel stale, to feel useless, which will make us negative. Now listen to what the prophet Jeremiah said. This is our scripture reading this morning. "Blessed is the man or person who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Okay. This verse teaches us that when we grow, we become like a well-established tree with solid roots. Regardless of the situation, our faith is not shaken. Okay, the more we grow, the more our faith is not shaken when things go wrong. Psalm 1 actually talks about this as well. But a couple of things I want to point out. The heat, okay? Trouble or tribulation. Let me just tell you, trouble or tribulation will come into your life. But when you have a strong faith, when your roots are strong, your faith is not shaken, remains green, okay? So this tree is like solid. So when the heat comes, it's not going to wither away. Now, most of you realize this. Trouble and tribulation come into our life, and a lot of times people don't actually go to the Lord until that comes in. But if we continue to go to the Lord before that heat comes, guess what? Game on. I'm prepared. I'm ready. When something bad happens in my life, all the things that I've learned, all the ways that I've grown, now it's my time to actually put those things into practice. You and I have learned many things in our Christian lives, right? And a lot of those things are kind of like on the shelf. We're like, what do I need that for? Well, guess what? When the heat's on, you're going to need it. Drought, a dry spell. Things don't seem to be getting better, but this person is not anxious or does not worry. Maybe you've been a Christian for a couple of decades, and you kind of feel a little dry. You're in like a dry spell. You're like, you know what? I'm just not really doing much. Not really much is going on. I feel kind of stale. I feel kind of stagnant. Things are not really going that well. They're not going terrible, but they're not really going that well. You're in this kind of drought, this dry spell. Well, this person, when that happens, if their faith is rooted, they're not anxious or they're not worried. Continues to bear fruit. Good still comes no matter what. You know, in our culture, this post-pandemic culture, right? Everybody, remember the buzzword, pivot? We got to pivot, right? Everything's pivot. This is where in life, now, maybe you're looking at your life and your purpose, like your life stage or season has changed. So now you have to pivot and see, okay, how can I live on purpose for God in this stage of life? How am I going to deal with this change in what's going on? Maybe it's a new job. Maybe you're newly married. Maybe you're newly retired. Maybe you're newly divorced. Maybe you lost somebody in your life. How are you going to pivot and still continue to live out God's purposes? So how does this person stand firm? It's a strong faith in God. The focus on who God is and what he's done. Constantly growing in their trust of him. Constantly growing in their faith of him. Now, there's three ways we really grow. Things that the scriptures teach us that assist us in our growth. And the first way is worship. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we're not going to get into the whole chapter or the whole passage. But basically what it does, it describes what the early believers were doing in worship service. They were singing, they were praying, they were observing communion, they were listening to God's word being preached, and they were giving. Unfortunately, here is what happens when it comes to worship service, worship proper. Many people wait until the heat is on to attend worship. Have you noticed that? Maybe you got a friend that's going through a tough time and stuff. You're looking at it, it's like, oh, this is a great opportunity to witness this friend, this help this friend. But a lot of times people, they wait till the heat's on until they come here to church. And what happens when the heat's off? They disappear again. Have you noticed that? They disappear again. They don't look at this as something that we need to do each week, not only because God told us to do, but it's part of our spiritual habits. And when we attend worship, it's actually helping you grow. Maybe you come here and you're like, okay, I've kind of heard this before. I don't feel like I'm learning much new. Well, the truth about it is you're not always supposed to learn something new. In fact, if you keep on hearing the same thing, not only here, but you listen to your podcast or listen to your Bible and it keeps on like, I keep on hearing the same thing. God's saying, wake up, okay? Wake up, I'm trying to teach you something. You're not listening, so you need to keep hearing that same thing. A.W. Tozer said it this way, without worship, we go about miserable. When you kind of delete yourself from coming out to church to worship together, it actually makes you more negative. Do you know that the statistics of people coming to church is once a month? That's 12 times a year. 12 times. And you're like, well, I'm above average. I'm glad you are. But realistically, why wouldn't you continue to be fed and to worship with God's people? I think it's hilarious when this happens to me. So my wife and I will go to ShopRite like after church, as many of you do, and I'll see you there, and you know, you're trying to get all your stuff. When I see somebody that didn't attend church, and trust me, a lot of times, like, it's hard for me to even pay attention. With two services every week, it's just like a blur, especially now I'm getting older and stuff like that. And, like, and you know, I'll see people and they'll be like, do, 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 do. Like, they're just like, they don't want to have anything to do with seeing me because they weren't at church. And then I'll say to my wife, I'm like, that was weird. And she's like, yeah, they weren't in church. Like, makes sense, right? And they're afraid, right? They're afraid that I'm going to judge them. Listen, I'm not judging anybody. Hey, this is between you and the Lord. But I will say this. When I talk about spiritual disciplines, I've talked probably with my wife and kids about this a lot. Attending worship service is the easiest of the spiritual disciplines. Think about this. I mean, unless you're wrought with anxiety, social anxiety. But think about this. It's coming in, walking in, saying hello. Oh, I have to shake a hand. It's, you know, and then the service starts. You stand, you sing, you listen, you stand, you sing, and then you listen, and then you leave. And you might have to see me at the door, okay? Unless you slink out the side. But here's the thing. It's the easiest. So when I hear people say, like, oh, I don't need to be in worship service, or, you know, I still have a strong faith, and I'm really going to question, are you in the Word every day? Are you praying every day? Are you really serving the Lord? Because you're not doing probably the easiest of the spiritual disciplines, which is essentially showing up, right? So worshiping together is what the early church did and has been doing for 2,000 years. But before that, the early believers were going to the temple and worshiping. This is nothing new. This is nothing that we're getting rid of. In fact, I'm glad you're here this Sunday. This Sunday is actually nationwide the least attended Sunday of church. Okay, why? So people are like, I was already there this week, right? There, doesn't that count? Like, that's not the point, right? That's not the point. The point is, do you want to grow? So in order to grow, we need worship. So maybe 2025, maybe you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to beat the average. By a lot, okay? I'm not going to do 12 times a year. You know, I'm going to do every week unless the Lord has me sick or if I'm away. In fact, a lot of times when we go on vacation, if we can, we always try to find a church. Last time we were away, I was in Arizona and we went to a church in Sedona and I walked in and I was like, okay, you know, people were like, you know, saying hello. I sat down, this and that. Guy's like, okay, we're in Revelation 21. I was like, score, I'm taking notes. I'm like, I'm getting there. So I was so happy and I was so blessed by another church's fellowship. Next, discipleship. So discipleship, becoming a follower of Jesus. Most of you know that we're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this church since 1977. That's been the purpose of this church, to help people to become followers of Jesus. The best way to become a follower of Jesus is to get to know him. Know what he loves, know what he hates, know what he desires. Know what he expects. When we do that, the next step is not only to know him, the goal of our Christian life is to become like him. You know, we live in a culture of, you know, entertainers and heroes and superheroes and people that we look up to. Jesus is our example. We have to clear out everyone else. Not saying that, you know, they can't bring value, people in our lives that we've looked up to that has helped us. We're not saying that they can't bring value, but Jesus is the one that is our example. Now, a great way to grow is setting some goals, like discipleship goals for ourselves. Perfect time of year, right? We're at the end of 1 year and going into the beginning of another year. You can do a Bible reading plan. I've been talking about that one, the new app, Through the Word. And actually, somebody told me, because there was like an announcement every day when I listened to it, there's like a little announcement. Apparently, they're starting to study through Revelation in January. I was like, oh, I've been skipping the announcement because I get right to the Word. So the thing is, like, these things are tools for us to grow. make yourself a plan. We have our Design for Discipleship books out in the foyer. You can take one of those. It explains exactly what you're supposed to do right in the front. We have our resource link on our app and on our website. These are things to help you to actually make a goal, have a plan. And let me just tell you this. I just want to tell you this. You start day one. You're like all about it, right? Day two, all about it. Maybe day seven, maybe day 14. And then all of a sudden you miss a day. Don't get discouraged. Just pick up where you left off. You know, Satan's little lie is going to be like, oh, you can't do this. You missed a day. What's it worth now? You missed a day. No, keep going. Yeah, sometimes you'll have a bad day. Sometimes you'll miss a day. Sometimes you'll start to realize at some point, I'm not going to miss a day because this is so important to me. I'll miss something else, but I'm not going to miss this. So make a plan for yourself. It's a great time of year to make that plan. Now, in order to grow, we worship, right? We pursue discipleship, but we also fellowship. Now, fellowship is spending time with other believers. We need other Christians in our lives. Some of you have tough families. They're unbelieving families. Some of you have friends that are unbelievers. Some of you are transplants. You lost touch with people, and now you're in this new environment, this new place, and you're in this new church, and you're trying to look for ways to connect with people. A way to build new relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ is to get together with like-minded individuals. They encourage us to grow. So you'll notice we'll do like different events. Like we have that dinner coming up in February. We do different events in order for you to connect with other people. It's in order for you to connect with other like-minded people, people that are believers. Now, some may say, oh, I have nothing in common with people in church. Listen, if you are a believer in Christ, you have something in common. Start there. When I went away to Bible college, like at high school, I got saved late in high school and stuff. All my friends were surfers and skaters and stuff like that. I never really hung out with too many people that didn't do the same things that I do. When I went away to college, I didn't meet any surfers in Pennsylvania, okay? It's just, I mean, there maybe are some, but they weren't going to my school. So I learned how to start with the common ground of Christ, and guess what? All of a sudden, now I made friends that brought different value to my life, and they were interested in different things, things that I never even really thought of or were interested in before. Now, maybe you feel like you're kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to fellowship. You come in, come to church, like, oh yeah, I say hello to a couple people. It seems like other people like are really talking to each other and having good conversations, and like I'm just kind of in and out. Well, here's what you need to do. You kind of need to put yourself out there a little bit. And I know this is hard for people that struggle with like anxiety, like I said, like the post-pandemic stuff. People are like, oh, I don't like to be around people. But listen, put yourself out there a little bit. Put yourself out there a little bit. Realize that, you know what? God brought me here for a reason. And not only for you, but do you realize that there might be somebody here that actually needs you? Like needs what you know, what you've been through. Maybe you've noticed this before. As a pastor, I do this all the time. If I find out that you work somewhere of going through something like that, my mind is always going. And like and you probably experienced this before. I'll say, hey, you know what? There's this person I want to introduce you with. Or I'll see like, hey, there's this person. And I just I'm like, hey, go to see you later. You know what I mean? Like I just get out of there and let that happen. And the reason why is not that I'm passing people off, it's I'm trying to connect people so they can build friendships and help one another out and connect, because that's what fellowship is all about. Fellowship is really all about that. So you want to put yourself out there. Next thing you really want to do is you want to pray. Like, Lord, help me to find some connection with people. So I was 20 years old when I came to this church. And when we were 22, going on 23, Amy and I got married. When they said young couples in the church, we were it, okay? Here we are, young couples, okay? We would go to the things and everybody like had us by like 20, 30 years. We would pray, Lord, you know, we want to make some Christian friends in our age group, like to connect with and this and that. And then all of a sudden, the Lord brought the Mothers of Preschooler Ministries into our church. And my wife got involved. And then from that point on, all of a sudden, we had like moms and dads and little kids and stuff in our church. And like our kids grew up with all those kids. And we grew up with those families and stuff like that. And it was just amazing. And then I think back, part of it was like, we were like, we got no friends. You know, we need to pray for people to connect with that are in our age group that we're not just like the young couple to. So pray. You never know what God has in store. I will say this about our church. It's very multi-generational, as you can see. So there is probably somebody that you can connect with on that type of level. But you know what? Maybe you're growing, but you still feel that something's missing. You still feel a little negative. Like, I still feel like something is missing. The next way that we glorify God is to serve him. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." When you and I create something, we create it for a purpose. You ever watch that show Shark Tank? Some of you are like really in the Shark Tank. Somebody comes up with an invention and you're like, dude, that's a good invention because it's useful. Then somebody comes up with an invention and you're like, why'd they let this guy on the show? Okay, purposeless. That invention stinks, right? If we create something, we want it to be used for the purpose. It brings value. We are God's creation, and this passage tells us we are created for good works. God prepared us, prepared those works, and for us to walk in them. In other words, he prepared us to serve, to be his creations that do for him, to bring him glory. As a creation of God, doing what God created you to do, will do this. It'll make you merry. It'll make you positive. I guarantee it. I could stand here as sure as I'm up here right now and say, if you serve the Lord, you will be merry. It's because God created you for it. God made you for it. He didn't create you without a purpose. Now, there are two main areas that the Christians, we as Christians, fulfill the purpose of serving Jesus. And the first one is in our everyday life. Okay? Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Go out into the marketplace. Go out to work. Students, friends, family members, this and that. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Basically, you live your life every day constantly asking yourself this question. How is this bringing glory to God? How what I'm doing today is bringing glory to God. And guess what? You apply this, your hobbies all of a sudden become different. You say like, okay, you know what? The Lord blessed me with the ability to do this hobby. Now I'm going to be rubbing shoulders with people. I'm going to be talking to people. How is this bringing glory to God? How is this bringing glory to God? How is my everyday life an example of him, pointing people to him? You know, obviously, what I do for a living. I'm a pastor, right? Guess what? That comes up a lot, okay? Anytime I meet people, when we were away in Arizona, you know, I'm at the rental car desk, like, waiting for the guy to give me a car and stuff. He's like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, okay, here we go. This kid's hearing the gospel. You know, because here's the thing. This is our life, right? So maybe you don't have the easy in. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I really can't like do that in my everyday life. But you can, right? You can when you do things in view of him. The next place that we serve is the church. Now, this is to benefit the local body of believers. 1 Corinthians 12 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul, he actually teaches that through the Holy Spirit, God gives us gifts to use to serve him. And this is how that passage starts off. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This passage teaches that we should have a ministry within the church to further the work of the church, not for the church's name, but for the name of Jesus, for the common good of all who are here. Now, that sounds big, right? That sounds like, oh, Pastor Mike must want me to do something. No, Jesus wants you to do something, okay? That's the truth. But think about this for a second. if no one in this church used their gifts to benefit the local body, let's just say, what would this morning look like? Be pretty lame, okay? There'd be no music. There'd be nobody who's here to turn on the sound. I'm not teaching. I don't want to use that. Sunday school, what's going to happen there? Think about that for a second. But here's what happens. Here's what happens in life. We always think someone else will do it. So we see something. Oh, the paint's all chipped up. Somebody should take care of that. Right? You got a paintbrush? We can put you to work. You can help out and you can benefit the body of Christ. If we all thought like that, think about the future of the church. Think about that. Leo Tolstoy said it this way. He says, it is within my power to either serve God or to not serve God. Serving him, I add to my own good and the good of the whole world. Not serving him, I forfeit my own good and deprive the world of that good which was in my power to create. So he's saying this, if I live on purpose, like I'm gonna benefit, but other people will as well. It's our responsibility to pass the example down to the next generation. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. People put that up on their house, right? In their dining room or whatever, in their foyer. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Well, guess what? If you're not serving the Lord, you're not setting an example for your kids to serve the Lord, guess what they're going to do? Same thing as you, not serve the Lord. You know, people will come to me all the time like, I don't know, it's like my kids, they're not really interested in this and that. It's like, well, what type of example did you set for them? Because I can guarantee you, if you set the example for them of spiritual development and service, they're going to eventually get that. Because they're going to feel that joy, feel that positivity, feel that merriness, so to speak, and they're going to continue to serve. This is important. If the church doesn't make this, if we as a church and our families don't make this an example, there could be a time when this local body of believers does not exist. And that's the truth. I've been to churches before that literally are filled with people that are over the age of 65 or 70. And I've sat there and looked and said, this church will die because people die. And there's nobody to step in and step up. So I don't want that on my head that we never built into the next generation. I don't know if you realize this, like our church has a youth ministry and the children's ministry and stuff. The course of the American church is moving away from those things. They'll actually, when they look at the staffing of a church, they say, okay, we need a senior or lead pastor and a worship pastor. Those are the first two hires. Our church said, no. We need a youth pastor so we can build into the next generation so we can keep this going for generations to come. So important. Finally, our final way that we bring glory to God is telling others about Jesus. Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're in a mission field, aren't we? You and I are all in a mission field where we can be effective. This is something I talk about a lot, so it may sound familiar, but God has placed you among the people that you cross paths with every day in your life. That is your mission field. Every day, even the people that you think are so far from the Lord has placed that person in your life. Do you think there's any person that walks this face of the earth that the Lord doesn't love, that the Lord can't get through to? I don't, because with God, anything's possible. So that means that I and you are in their lives for a reason. And you might be thinking, again, I can't do that. It's hard. I'm scared. I don't have the answers. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. Be confident in the Lord. And remember, no one has all the answers. No one has all the answers. You know, when I meet people and talk to people and stuff like that, people like that ask me a lot of questions, and there's a lot of answers that I don't have. People think, oh, you studied the Bible all your life, went to like school for it and stuff like that. people will come up with some weird questions, right? What about this or what about that? And, you know, you have to be humble enough to say, that is a good question. I'm going to try to find out the answer. If there's one, I will get back to you. If there's not, I'll just ghost you. No, don't say that. But just be confident. Be confident in who God has made you. I can guarantee if you're practicing those other disciplines, all of a sudden when these opportunities come, you're going to know things that you never even realized you knew. You're going to be like, oh, you know, I heard that one time. I read that. Our goal is we want to tell others about who Christ is. We're all called to spread the good news. And believe me, when you're part of someone trusting in Jesus for the first time, it makes you merry. I will tell you that. You know, in situations where, like, I've talked to people and they say, oh, I believe that. I'm always like second guess, you sure? You sure? Like you believe, you know, it's so surprising sometimes because I'm so used to like telling people and people being like, okay, you know. And then when somebody's really interested, it's such a merry, positive feeling. Charles Spurgeon actually said it this way: to be a soul winner is the happiest thing in the world. To see someone come to Christ. That's why Isaiah says this: how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You know, we live in a culture of bad news, don't we? I want to be the good news bringer, right? I don't want to be the bad news bringer. Our culture, our news, everything is so broken. Our social media, all that stuff is bad news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, when we live out glorifying God by growing in our faith, by serving him, by telling others, here's what's going to happen. We're going to enjoy God. We're going to enjoy who he is. We're going to enjoy all the blessings and say, you know what? I have these blessings because I have a God who loves me and he allowed me to enjoy these things. He allowed me to use these things. He allowed me to use these things to bring him glory. When we do these things, we're going to enjoy who he is and what he has done. And guess what? We're going to be merry. We're going to shine bright to this community and to the people around us. Now, it's so appropriate this morning for us to celebrate communion and observe communion. And the reason is this. It's the end of the year and it's the beginning of a new year. We talked about purpose and how to live in those purposes. A lot of you, I really truly believe that you are good-natured in wanting to do this. I think that probably everybody here is like, this sounds good. I want to live like this. And then you will step out of here and life will happen, right? Life will happen. It'll smack you upside the head. Satan will whisper in your ear, you can't do that. You're a loser. You can't live like that. You can't do that. That's just for church people or religious people. That's not you. No. Communion is important because now you have the opportunity to say, I want to glorify you, God. Help me. Show me where I need this. Show me what needs to happen in my life. Help me in these areas. Maybe in the back of your head, you know, okay, you know what? I feel like I'm doing the growth thing pretty good, but I don't serve anywhere. So I really need to get plugged in. I really need to serve somewhere. Maybe you got the growth thing and the service thing, but you're like, I avoid non-Christians like the plague. I only want to be around my church family because I love them, they love me, and we're all good. I don't want to have any relationships with any non-Christians because they're scary. Maybe that's what you're saying. Well, you know what? Maybe God is calling you and saying, no, you know what? There's that person at work that you need to befriend. I want you to befriend that person so they can hear about me. They never had a Christian friend. Nobody in their family loves them the way that I love them. God loves them. So whatever it is, take this to the Lord, spend some time and say, Lord, just show me and help me.